Turn this thing on. Hold. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts here at Heartland, Lord. And it's this really is an awesome church to be a part of, to know that what we're doing is right in the center of your will, Lord. And just to see some of the attacks from the devil just lets me know that we are right in the center of your will. Because if we weren't doing what you wanted us to do, the devil wouldn't care. But he's trying to get in the middle of it, Lord. So I pray that you would just use us as ministers of light, as ministers of your word, that you would just be used, or you would use us to glorify you in whatever capacity that means, Lord, whether it means, you know, going down the street or going down the hall or whatever that means, Lord. We do pray that you would just speak today, anoint your word. And Lord, do pray specifically for Brad and Tyler in Oaxaca, Mexico right now, and in Shorty, Lord, is there. They're just doing work, and it's laborious, Lord. I do pray that you just give them strength to do the work that you've called them to do, and that we would just, as a class, lift them up. And Lord, I pray you just speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. So, to circle back around on that I just said, I got a text message last night from Tyler Scholes. So you guys know who Tyler is, most of you. I used to be the youth pastor here at Heartland. He went down and helped Brad plant the church in Clinton. So I want to say this real quick, because if you know anything about Tyler or my brother, they're kind of cut from the same cloth that I am. And so if you know anything about me, if you didn't know this already, it's going to be a shocker. When I do something, I kind of go at it, you know, not just halfway, but I kind of go at it like a million miles an hour, you know, and then my wife's like, okay, I guess that's what we're doing, right? But so we go at things with all we got. The only person that I know of in the world that just will just work me into the dirt is Tyler Scholes, man, this guy. And so to hear this message from him, I knew it was important, right? And so if you didn't know, Brad and Tyler and Brad's youngest son, Hayden Shorty, they're in Mexico right now and they're building bricks. So the guy who came and did our vision conference, right? They're down there helping him. And so that's what's going on. So I get this message last night. They left on Friday. So yesterday would have been their first full day there. And so this is just kind of personal, but I think Tyler would be cool with me sharing. He said, "Hey, bro, I hate to bother you, but I have a prayer request, and I know you're faithful to that. This Mexico trip is a rough one. We're being well taken care of, but the workload is over the top." So for Tyler to say the workload is over the top, I'm like, he said, "You know, I wouldn't say that because we can work, but wow, exclamation point. We need prayer for endurance, strength, hydration, general health. It's super humid and hot, and they do everything here the hard way, if you can imagine that. I don't think I've ever sweat as much as I did today. I'm concerned about your bro's heart exploding, and Shorty only has one hand that works, so I don't know what's going on there." He said, "God is good. It's an awesome time, but wow." So just so you know, there's something going on. And so I don't know. Heartland's going to take a trip down there here in a couple months, and I don't know that that's what they're...
Not a prelude.
Yeah. I don't think you guys are going to build bricks or whatnot. But anyway, just because they're there, and I don't know, I think they're there for about a week, just pray for them, because obviously God's using them, you know. And the first thing that came to mind when I read that was... I got to think of the verse. First Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it." And that's what I sent back to him, because I'm like, God would not have called you if he didn't think you guys could do it. And so, but just do pray for them. I know that they're not really a part of Heartland anymore, but they're a part of the core of Passpoint and what Passpoint is. You know, they came up through here, and so pray for them. God's doing something. So anyway, just throwing that out there. It's on my heart, so, you know, everything that's on my heart, you guys find out about. So, okay, if you got your Bibles, open to the book of Isaiah. Once again, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. So some of you guys, as soon as you hear Isaiah chapter 14, you're like, oh boy, what are we going to talk about today? Right? And so, Isaiah chapter 14. So, you class, Passpoint, studious group that you are, what happens on Isaiah chapter 14? Somebody tell me, very loud, what happens on Isaiah chapter 14?
All the eyes.
Huh?
All the eyes.
Oh, so you're gonna have to allude to that, because yeah. So there's a guy in Isaiah chapter 14 that says, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." Right? And this guy happens to be the guy that I consider to be the punk, the adversary. His name is Satan, right? And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. And so I'm just going to kind of read through this, and then I'm going to circle back around, because really what I'm going to focus on are the five I wills. But I want to kind of give you a little bit of pre-I will and a little post-I will. It's not talking about marriage, right? but just kind of what's going on. So I'm going to give you five choices today that will define what you will do, right? And so you see what I did there? I will, you will. No, you didn't get it. Okay. It's five choices that will define what you will do, right? And so Isaiah chapter 14, I'm just going to read the first little bit of this chapter to give us a little backstory, right, on what's happening here. So Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel." You notice that he will choose Israel. "And set them in their own land, and strangers shall be joined unto them, and they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." So this is a lot of prophecy of what is even beginning to happen today when he says Israel will have their land back. But anyway, we're not getting into any of that right now. So verse 3, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve." Verse 4, this starts talking about kind of the fall of this guy we know as Satan, who was before what? What was his name before? Lucifer, right? And we'll talk a little bit about what he was to start with and what he fell from. But so it says, "Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king Babylon and say, how hath thy the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He hath smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger and persecuted thee and hindered or none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing." Singing, huh? That's interesting because that's what Lucifer's job was, right? He was the head musician. We'll get into that some more. "Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Isaiah is saying, hell is moved to get you, Lucifer. He is opening up. "It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up their thrones and kings of the nations. And they shall seek to say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us?" And in verse 11 is where it really starts to really call out Lucifer, right? It says, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave." What does that mean, that pomp, right? What's that song when we graduation? What's it called? Pomp and circumstance, right? You're just important, right? You come walking down, you know, you feel important when that song's going on, right?
Huh?
Pomp is right, yeah. And so he's talking about thy pomp, that thy importance is brought down to the grave. "And the noise of thy vials," right? Satan's job, Lucifer's job, not Satan, he was the chief of the musicians, right? His job was to do what? To magnify God's glory. He had one job, and he was chief of all of it, to magnify God's glory to the world, right? And there wasn't even a world yet. This was before earth was even, this was all of the angels, right? And his job was to magnify it, and that's what he did. And he says, "Thy noise, thy vials, the worm is spread unto thee as the worms cover thee," right? Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the grave, which did weaken the nations?" So it's a question. How are you this? How did this happen? Well, then here the next verse will tell you exactly how this happened. "For thou hast said in thine heart." Notice this says in thine heart. It doesn't say anything about he came right out and said it, right? It says, "Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15, "You shall be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit." And I was going to read on, but I almost want to stop there, right? And so you can read on to see what happens afterwards. But here's what happens. Lucifer had one job, right? It's kind of like a group of people that I know today, the church. We have one job. What is that? To glorify God, right? To magnify Jesus Christ to the world. It's almost kind of like what his job was, right? He had one job. And if I might just be as frank to say, he screwed it up really bad, right? He really messed this thing up. Have you ever felt like, in your walk, your one job, you really messed it up, right? I do daily, well, maybe not daily, but there's a lot of days that I feel like I really messed this up, right? He had one job. He was created to do what, right? To sit above the throne of God and to magnify His glory to the angels. He was an important dude. You are an important dude in the church, right? To magnify Christ to the world. Well, yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And this isn't even in my notes, but I'm like, we got to think about this for a minute. You have an important job. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to, you know, live Christ. No. Yeah, you know. So you need to do it. Take Christ and magnify Him. In the way that you speak, yes, go share the gospel. But how about in the way that you live? In the way that you think? In the way that you do? Because it wasn't the things that Lucifer said. I don't read anywhere where it says he said these things. He thought these things. So, for you, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but for you who thinks, yeah, I know, I'm not saying it, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows. God knows. God knows the things that you're thinking. God knows the thoughts that are going through your mind. And He's not cool with it. He's not cool with it, right? And so we're going to look at these five things that He says. Because it's easy to say, you know, He says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He says, I will five times. You know what He's basically saying? I'm just going to be God. I'll be God, right? And so I'm going to look into these five things and kind of break them down into words that or statements that we can kind of understand. And each one of these things, you've got basically a choice, right? And it's just kind of what we have to choose from. So here's the first one, right? He's basically saying, I will work my way to heaven, right? He says, I'll ascend unto heaven, right? He says, I'll work my way to heaven, right? So you have a choice. You're either going to work your way to heaven, or you're going to choose to follow the only way, right? The only way. So I got some verses. You guys are going to have to get them. You're going to have to do some flipping, right? So what are some ways that we'll work our way to heaven? What are some ways that we as the church try to work our way to heaven? Maybe not even the church, just the world today. Come on, give me something. Good works, right? That's one I got, right? We try to do it by good works. I'm just going to do enough good things, and you know, my good will outweigh my bad, and that's the world we live in, right? I'm a good person, right? You try to evangelize somebody, I'm a good person, get off my back. Okay, fine. That's not what God says, though. Right? That's another one, a big one. Right? Huh? Going to church, that's right along the lines of religion, right? Religion is one of the biggest ones. I'm going to work my way to heaven by being at church every week, right? And I'm not talking about your good Bible preaching, King James, you know, Baptist church, although I am talking about that as well. But the church in general, right? The church today, and I'm not listing out any one denomination because, you know, we're all jacked up if we're not in this book. Religion. We base what we do on religion. Well, I've went to church my entire life, right? I go to Mass every week. The Buddhists, you know, I meditate every day, right? I'm going to work my way through my religion to heaven. Now, wait a minute. That's just like what Satan said he was going to do. He says, I will ascend. Well, that's how you plan on doing it. You're going to work your way. What happens in Genesis chapter 11? You don't have to turn there, but... Somebody read Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. Sorry, somebody needs to read it. And then somebody else get Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Because this is what we do, guys. We say, I know that God says He's the way, but you know, I might just be able to work my way there. That's what Satan did. Somebody got something?
3:4 says, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the floor.
Right, so back in Genesis, all the people are together and they're like, hey, I got an idea. Right? Because, you know, guys, we've never had that thought, right? Right? I got an idea. We're gonna make some bricks. I hope that's not what Tyler and Brad are doing. Right? I don't think it is. We're going to make some bricks. And, you know, back when we were kids, we were stacking rocks together, right? So we stack these bricks tall enough. We'll just work our way up there, right? He says, they don't just say they're going to build a big tower. He says, they're going to get all the way to heaven. they're going to work their way there. That's what we do, right? And I'm saying we because that's, let's just call it, that's what we do, right? I'm going to work my way there. And I think I got a good plan at it. I'll be at church every week. I'll do everything they were supposed to do, right? I've got my assigned seat out here. And if somebody sits in it, I'll just politely ask them to move because that's my seat, right? I say out there because it's not like you guys don't sit in the same place in here every week, right? No, I'm just kidding, right? But we trust our rituals and our religion more than we do what God says. John 14:6, Jesus himself says, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Well, that's contradicting, right? Because Jesus says, "I'm the only way." So how are you going to work your way if I'm the only way? And just a little tidbit so you could know this, because if you didn't know this already, which you should have known this already, but it's kind of like a tongue twister. If you're going to take Jesus' way, you can't work your way. Because God says, "I'll do the work for you," right? Who has Matthew 7:13-14? Read it.
"Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it."
Right. And I can't hear that verse. There's certain people in here that can't hear that verse and not think of facing the giants, right? They're out on the football field, and this coach is not really quoting the verse, but he's saying it. And there's other coach in the background, and he's just like, "Wow," right? You got to watch this movie; it's great. I can't listen to that verse, right? Because he's like preaching to these football players as they're at practice, right? And they're doing their thing, and you know, you got to go back and watch it. But it's really good; I love it. And hey, right, we can have Passpoint movie night right after we have Passpoint zipline night, right? We're going to do this. I'm telling you.
They have group fights.
Yeah.
And building challenges.
We'll talk about that later, but I'm telling you.
Wait, can I force you to watch everyone's children?
So, you don't have the zipline. You can do on the ground ups. Go for it.
Okay. Got to keep going. Anyway, basically what Christ himself is saying, is there's this really wide gate, and it's really easy, right? And it's the way of the world. And it says it's the way of destruction. It's the way of the adversary. But there's this narrow gate. It's a little bit harder. But guess what? It's the path to what? Right? Everlasting life, right? You don't always have to take the big, easy way. Sometimes you got to just do it God's way. Right? You have a choice. You're either going to say, "I'll work my way to heaven like Lucifer did," or "I'll follow the only way." And you might be like, "Well, okay, yeah, if you're going to ask me, Jason, I'll tell you which way." I'm not telling you to give me the answer. I'm telling you to look at your life. How are you living? Are you trying to work your way there? Because, you know, hey, I'll be the first one to tell you. Up here, the teacher, right? Whatever you guys want to call me. Call me the P word. I don't know. It drives me crazy, right? I try to work my way sometimes. I try to say, you know what? Yeah, punk, that's it. I get it wrong sometimes. I say, you know what? I got this, God. Right? Because you've never said that before. I got this, God. That's your choice, right? Are you gonna work your way, or are you gonna follow the only way? All right, the second one, right? So what's the second one? He says, "I'll ascend into heaven." He says, "I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God." What's he saying there? What's he trying to say there? I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. He basically says, "I'm gonna build my own kingdom. I'm gonna exalt myself above everything else. I'm gonna make my kingdom better than this other kingdom," right? I see what you got going here, God, and yeah, it's a good thing. I was reflecting this light for a while, but I think I can get one that's even better, right? Because I've never said that in my life. This whole following Jesus thing, this whole Christianity thing, it's good. What if I tweaked it a little bit? And what if we did this? We could have it even better, huh? And then all of a sudden, you got, you know, more religions than we can count. You know, I'm not getting on anybody's toes, but that's what happened. I caught myself. I almost said it. Here's your next choice. You're either going to decide, "I'll build my own kingdom," I'll build my own kingdom, or I'll find my place in God's kingdom. Right? That's the choice you've got. Lucifer decided, yeah, my place in God, it was good, right? But here's just something about, and he wasn't even human, right? He was an angel. But here's something about humanity that, if you didn't know this already, there's never a point you'll get to where it's like, okay, that's good enough. You're always going to want more. You're always going to want a little bit more, right? That new job promotion, yeah, that's awesome, right? You always want the next one, right? That new house you bought, that's really nice. You know, maybe we could build another one, right? Maybe we could get a little bit bigger, a little bit better. There's always the next thing. Lucifer was top dog, only underneath God. And he was like, that was good for a while. But what if we did this a little bit, and we did that a little bit, and we're like, yeah, that's what Lucifer did. He's a punk. Well, guess what? That's what I do in my life sometimes. I say, well, what if I just take this and I tweak it just a little bit, right? And what if I take the way that we do it at church and we tweak it just a little bit? And I'm not saying that the church is God, right? But I am saying that, and we'll get to this in a minute, when you submit yourself to the local church, you're basically just trusting that God is doing what he's doing, right? You're trusting in the leadership. We'll get to that in a minute. But what if we just did this? Or what if we just tried that? Or what if we just did what we were supposed to do? Huh? Instead, we're trying to build our own kingdom, right? There's a Casting Crown song that talks about, I can't even think of it, it just came to my mind, but basically, we build our kingdom, but you know what it's based on? This pile of sand, right? And what happens when the wind and the waves come to the sand? I can tell you what happens when water hits sand. It's not good, right? Ask Brady. He could give you some examples, right? I watched this guy the other day just get drowned. just completely drowned. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. And you know what God did? He's like, huh, just in case you were wondering, I can get you too. And I got soaked too. But I mean, he took it willingly. I didn't. And so, anyway, has nothing to do with anything. But we decide, I'll build my own kingdom, or I'll find my place in God's kingdom. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference to what goes on there. So how are ways that we build our own kingdom? Somebody give me something pretty quick. A way that we build our own kingdom. Once again, good works, right? I'll just do enough good things, right? I'll build myself on this, on these good works that I got, right? I'm going to trust in everything that I do, all the good things that I do, and it's good enough, right? It's good to be a moral person. It's not godly. Let me say that again. It's good to be a moral person. It's not godly. And as much as I hate to say it, there's a lot of really, way better than me, good moral people in hell right now. And a lot of them on the fast track to get there. Trusting in their good things, and it's not getting them anywhere. Because Christ says that he's the way, right? Our material things, right? We build, we get. You know, I got a new car, but now the next one's going to be a better one, right? I got this new truck, you know, and the next one's going to have shinier wheels. You know, whatever. We build our kingdom on this routine that we call church. Do, got to be here, got to be there, got to do this, got to do that, right? Doing good things. Is it godly? I don't know. Right? Revelation 3:20, Christ says he's standing at the door and he's knocking. And sometimes our church routine doesn't let him in. Right? So we can do it. We can build our own kingdom, or we can just say, I'm going to find my place in God's kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Does anybody know that one? Right.
He just went ahead and memorized the whole Bible.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because the last time.
I did not call you out. The Spirit of God convicted you. I did not call you out. No, I'm kidding. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? Why don't we just do that first? and all these things will be added unto you. All the things that you're just like, if I just do this, I'll get there. Or if I just do this, I'll get that. Or if I just seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those things will be added unto me. Right? A couple other verses for that. We don't have time to read them. Ephesians 4:16, 1 Corinthians 12 to 27, right? We're the body of Christ. Find where you fit in that, right? Like, I've decided, and I'm totally cool with this, right? I am, like, in the body of Christ, I'm the toenail on the pinky toe. Praise God, I found my spot, and that's what I want to do. I just want to be good at it, right? Those verses talk about how, you know, what if we can't all be the eyes, we can't all be the ears, right? We can't all be the arms or the legs, right? We have to find our spot. We can't all work in the sound booth. We can't all be teachers. We can't all work with the kids. But everybody has to find their spot in the body of Christ and do their one thing well. Right? And then if you do, all of a sudden my eyes see, my ears hear, right? I touch you. It all works when we all do our own part. Not when we're trying to do somebody else's thing. So find out what that is. You might, I don't know what that is, huh? This book right here does a really good job of showing you where you belong. If you read it. Meditate on it, right?
John 6:26.
What's it say?
Labor not for the meat which perish. Perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God the Father sealed.
Right.
John 6:27.
That's good. Right? We have to decide. We have to choose. Am I going to build my own kingdom? That's what Lucifer said. Or am I going to find my place? Because you have a place. Am I going to find my place in God's kingdom? God has a place for you already. Stop trying to work your way out of it. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. I just realized when I said that. I'm not saying that, like, you're predestined, you're predetermined to be a children's ministry worker. You're predetermined to be a church cleaner or whatever. Right? That's not what I'm saying. But there's also this verse, and you may have heard this year, that says when you're faithful with the little things, God will trust you to be faithful with the big things. So if you're faithful with the first thing that God called you to, don't be surprised that He'll grow you through that. And He'll grow you to... Not that it's a bad thing to be rooted in a ministry, right? But be faithful to something for a while, and don't be surprised how God grows you, right? When we got saved, it wasn't very long, and, you know, Paige and I got into the nursery. And I was just like, where do you want help at? I didn't really want to work in the nursery. But, you know, we went to the Kingdom Kids guy at the time, and we're just like, wherever is a good fit, you know, we're just willing to help, whatever that means. You know, Mitchell would never take that. You know, he wants you to tell him exactly where you want to work right now and what day. No, I'm kidding. But no, just we were just like, hey, what can we do? And so they were like, well, go to the nursery. And I was like, sweet. I'll just hang out here. You know, after I got over my fear of, you know, screaming babies, I could just give the ones that are crying to Paige. And, you know, the ones that were sleeping, I'm like, I'll hold this one. You know, I'm like, this is ministry. This is all right. Oh, this one doesn't smell good. Take this one too. But when you're faithful with little things, and I think we were faithful with the little things, and God has grown us. And not that, you know, not that you're trying to get to anywhere, but just be faithful with little things, right? Quit trying to build your own kingdom. Okay, number three, we got to get going. Here's your third choice. So God says, I'll exalt my throne above heaven. Then He says, I'll sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. What's He saying? I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation. I want to be top dog, right? He says, I will submit to nobody. Right? I'm the boss, Apostolos. I'm not going to submit to nobody. Or your other choice would be, I could submit myself to God's will. Right? I'm not going to submit to Jason. I'm not going to submit to Brian. I'm not going to submit to my husband. I'm not going to submit to my teacher. I can do what they do, and I can do it better. Maybe you can. I'm just saying, authority problems happen a lot, right? 1 Peter 5:5. Somebody read that real quick. Gotta get moving. 1 Peter 5:5.
Well, say the whole, you're
even... Likewise, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elderly. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble.
Right, it says submit yourselves unto God. What are you asking for? What?
Say your whole point.
I did. You have to choose. I'll submit to nobody, or I'll submit myself to God's will. Sorry, maybe I didn't speak it clearly. That's normal. That's normal. So, yeah. Here's what it boils down to. Satan, he had an authority problem. Lucifer. And we in the church, we in the world, we've got authority problems, right? I'll submit to this person, but not that person. Or I respect that person, but not that person. The Bible's pretty clear about who we're supposed to submit to. It's a very clear-cut structure, right? It's a very clear... This is why we have dysfunctional families, right? We have kids that don't want to obey their parents. We were shopping yesterday. Holy smokes. There's a reason I don't go shopping.
Amen.
I'm like, I cannot believe the way that that child... Like, and it was a teen, right? I think bad of my kids sometimes, and I'm like, man, I went home, and I'm like, I love you boys. Right? I'm like... These and it was several of them. It wasn't just one. And I'm like, I cannot believe that person is talking to their parent like that. And then I told Paige, I said, I figured it out. Because I heard the way the parent talked to them. And I'm like, they have no respect for them because they don't get any respect. Like, wow. We got dysfunctional families, right? Kids don't want nothing to submit with their parents, right? Wives don't want to submit to their husbands. Hey, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. That's just what the Bible says, right? And you're like, well, who's he got to submit to? God. Right? We've all got somebody to submit to. We've all got authority issues. If we don't just do what God says to do. Right? We got kids that are like, I don't wanna submit, right? We got this thing in the world, you know, the feminist movement, right? I'm all about, don't get me wrong, right? I'm all about a woman going and getting a job and making more money than her husband. Praise the Lord. Right? Or going and being the boss or going and doing it. Those are all good things, right? As long as you're still following what the Bible says. I don't care if you're boss of the whole world, right? Be president of the United States. At the end of the day, the Bible still says submit yourself unto your own husband. Right? I'm all for it. So don't get me wrong. But I'm also for what the Bible says. Right? So, as a society, we're all jacked up. And we're like, well, why does the guy got to be the head? Because he's the one who answers to God. Right? And that's just the way the structure's set up. You know? I would rather answer to my wife than to God. She's nicer sometimes. She's over here. So you guys took it one way. She's taking it completely a different way. That's good. Right? We've got authority problems. And that's what it comes down to. Say, Lucifer's like, no, I'm not going to submit to anybody. I'm going to be chief of this congregation here. We come into the church and we're like, I don't like that church. Right? They hold me accountable. I want to go somewhere where I can slip in the back row, slip out, say I went to church, and it's all good, and I didn't talk to nobody. Better yet, I'll just watch it online. Or we can choose to submit ourselves to God's will, right? We've all got some authority. It's biblical. We've all got some earthly authority. Right? What is God's will? We don't have a lot of time. You know, God's will is to first, if you're lost, be saved. And to second, if you're saved, be sanctified. And it takes a lifetime. Now, God's plan for your life is something completely different. It might be different for Pat, for Mitchell, for Brady, for everybody. God's plan is different for everybody. His will is the same for everybody. If you were lost, get saved. And if you're saved, be sanctified. Be more like Christ every day. Submit yourself to God's will. If you're going to submit yourself to that, okay, so I'm saved now. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be more like Christ every day. Okay, well, that's going to take the rest of your life. So figure out what the Word of God has to say for you, where you fit in that structure, and roll with it. Right? James 4:7, write that down. We're going to move on. The fourth one. He says, I'll sit upon the mount... Oh, that's not the fourth one. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He says, I'll be better than everyone and everything else. You've got to choose. Am I going to be better than everyone or everything else? Or am I going to choose to just be a servant? Right? Lucifer's like, you know what? I'm better than all these other angels. Now, come to think of it, I don't really think God's all that great. I think I could do it better. I'm better than him. I'm better than everyone. And really, everything he created, I'm better than too. We think like that sometimes. We think that we're pretty special. We do. We think that I've got this figured out. Or you know what else you could choose? I'm just going to be a servant. Right? I have more respect. And not that what I think has anything to do with anything, but I think God might have the same mindset on this. I got more respect for somebody who just puts on their servant's towel every day and says, you know, what can I do to serve? Where can I help? What do you need today, God? Instead of, you need to do this and you need to do that. That's not what it's all about. Right? People like this, they will tear everybody else down to get to move to advance themselves. You ever seen this in the workplace, right? You know, somebody working for a promotion or something, like, I'll make this guy look as bad as I can because it makes me look better. Right? That's what we do. That's what we do.
What's worse is when you're in
something
where there are no promotions.
Right. You just tear people down because it makes you look better. They'll do whatever it takes, right? You hear people say it's a cutthroat world. It really is. The question is, are you living in the world? Well, yeah, you're living in the world, but are you living of the world? No, we shouldn't be. We've got to be a servant. I got several verses for that. James 4:6, you can write them down. Matthew 20:27. Matthew 23:11, if you want to write them down. Somebody read Mark 9:35. Okay, Luke 17:10. There's a bunch of them, right?
What was Mark?
Mark 9:35. Somebody read that one. You guys can go back and look at the verses. I'm running out of time, but somebody read this one.
And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire these first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.
Jesus himself says, hey, guys, come here. Sit down for a second. Sit down for a second. Who wants to be first? Right? And we can all guess who was probably the first one to... Peter's like, yeah, I'll do it! Right? Maybe he didn't in this sense, but I'm sure he did it some... I love Peter, right? Jesus is like, hey, you want to be first? Be the first one to serve. You got to be last, right? Let everybody else go first. That's what it means to be a servant, right? That's what we need to do as the body of Christ. That's what we've got to do as the body of Christ. Got to be a servant. I got a lot more to say about that, but I'm going to move on. Last one, number 5. He says, I'll be like the Most High. This is where he really boils it down to. I'll do all these things, and then he's like, you know what? This is what happens, because I think this is kind of how it happens. He's thinking this. He doesn't even say it, but he's thinking these things. I could work my way to heaven, right? I could build my own thing. I don't really need to submit to anybody. I'm really just as good or really better than all of this. And this is what happens in our minds. We talk ourselves into things. And here's what he boiled it down to. I can just be my own God. I don't really need this God. I'll just be my own God. Right? And he hasn't even vocalized any of this. All he had to do was think it, and he lost his position. Now think about that for a minute. When you get bitter about something, when you start harboring something, when you start thinking that you're better than this, and you're just thinking it, and then you're like, oh man, I probably shouldn't think like that, right? I'm going to get back to it. Just thinking it, and you've already lost your position. You've already lost your position with God. What's your position with God? To glorify Him all the time. So when all he had to do was think it. Right? Peter was in a lot of trouble because he said it. Right? All you got to do is think it and you've lost your position. Right? So Lucifer's like, you know what? I'll just be my own God. You got to choose. Are you going to be your own God? Are you just going to follow Jesus? Well, that's a pretty simple one, Jason. Okay, well, it's really simple to say. It's really hard to live. Because there's a lot of days that I'm like, I'll just do things my way today. Right? What's the saying I used to say all the time? I try not to say it anymore. It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. No, that's what somebody who's going to be there. I'll just do things my way, and then I'll circle back around later. No, that's not God's way. How about we just submit to, I'll just follow what Jesus got to say. That's how I want to live. That's what I want people to know of me, of us as a class, right? And I'm just going to follow that. John 6, 67 and 68, somebody read that. This is what Pathpoint is founded on. I think that's the verse anyway. It may be one of the ones he skipped. I know it's this one. John 6, 67 and 68.
And said Jesus to the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life."
That verse right there is what Passpoint is based on, right? Are we also going to be like everybody else? Like the rest of the world? Just moseying our way through life, this Christianity thing? And here's what Peter does say, that's really good. He's like, where are we going to go? I can't go back to that. Where else are we going to go? I can't be my own God. Because you're God. You've got the words of life. I'm going to stick to that, right? At the end of the day, I want to know that, you know, I based my life on this. And I'm going to say if because I don't believe it, but if it is a farce, what did it hurt? I had a good relationship with my wife, with my kids, with the people around me. I lived joyfully, you know? Or you've got the lost person that says, I'll just be my own God. I'll do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want, right? And they live in this world of heartache and just miserable. And they have some fun every now and then, but they're empty. And if they're wrong, God says, well, too bad for you because you had one choice and you didn't choose it. Right? You got to choose. Am I going to be my own God? I'm just going to simply follow Jesus. And you're like, okay, that's a simple one. Okay, well, that's what it really boils down to. Because that's what we do. And when I say we, I mean the church, Passpoint, myself, right? I've got to decide each and every day, am I going to be my own God today? Am I going to follow my little G? Or am I going to follow Jesus? Right? And you might really pick up what I'm throwing down and you might not. And if you're not, you need to really think about that because there's something to think about there. Because it's not about what we want. It's not about being happy. It's not about having fun. It's not about, you know, living your best life now. None of that. It's about following Christ. Right? And presenting your body a living sacrifice. And doing that every day. Right? We can't be... We've got this position. We were created for a reason. To glorify God, just like what Lucifer was. Man, don't be caught in the same trap of even thinking the things that he thought. Because when you think it, you've already lost your position. Right? Right? So you got to decide, what are you going to do? What will you do? Because Lucifer thought what he would do. You got to decide what you're going to do. All right, let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word. God, it's just awesome to be able to get in your word day in and day out and just know that you've got something for us. You want to convict us. You want to grow us. You want to mold us like with a potter and clay, Lord. You want to just take us and shape us to be more like you every day. God, but we have the choice to be pliable, to be moldable, to be usable, Lord, or we can be rigid and hard and stiff. God, I pray that we would just be able to be used of you in whatever way that is, that we'd be more like you every day, that we would just be sent out this week and every day as lights in a dark world, that we would just be able to magnify your light the way that we were created to be, and that we wouldn't let these thoughts even creep into our minds, Lord, because when we do, we lose our position. So I pray that you would just send us out this week, use us, and just be glorified in us, Lord, that we would just have less of us and more of you every day. Lord, I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.